low fee schools, and we looked at where provisioning was happening, and then we identified where there were gaps in provisioning, and specifically in relation to academic support. And then we got some assistance from Priory Solution in scoping what could some of the interventions be to address some of those gaps. So that's what that consultancy was about, was really to look at some of the gaps and scoping what that could be. The result of that was to identify two new projects that were rolled out in the latter part of the financial year and in the last financial year, which was a grade 4 intervention to support learners between code 2 and code 4 who are struggling with the language switch, and that happened in 16 schools in the pilot phase. And the second was a maths support program that supported learners right through, learners who were doing well but not getting, so they were getting over 50% but not getting A's yet in terms of trying to push them towards code 7. And both of those programs have been piloted and will be reported in the next annual report.
Thank you. So the question related to...
Do you have a question on that?
On the numbers, I just want to find out, because I know in the rural areas we've got the issue, maybe the commission has identified, one of the problems that we have identified is there is a perception of the Xhosa and the Sotho, and there is Sotho and there is Xhosa, and the kids sometimes will find that they are forced by perception that they are black, they speak Xhosa, whereas they are not Xhosa, they are Sotho speaking. Is that part of the problem that maybe you have identified, that the program itself is not per se addressing that issue within the when you do the research?
So just to say that the specific issue was to look at where we are getting the biggest challenges with the core curriculum, and that was in grade 4, and that's the language switch from mother tongue to either English or Afrikaans. And so the intervention is intervention in the language of teaching and learning that was proposed. So it's a very specific.
Thanks, Chair. So the question relating to the Sports Science Institute, we had set aside more than R1 million to purchase gym equipment, and one of the important things that we wanted to do was to ensure that we have the correct technical specifications. Gym equipment by its nature can be commercial or can be domestic use. So we as the department felt it prudent that we needed to have an expert that could advise the committee on the correct purchase that would be made. If we simply purchase equipment that could be finished very quickly, a treadmill, if it's overutilized and it's domestic and not commercial, then your usage, the value that you get out of it would not be the same. So we put out a tender. The Sports Science Institute then sent a gentleman to assist the committee. And so when the specifications were sent out, he assisted us in drafting the specifications and to ensure that what we have in the gym is the best possible that the market can offer, because you can't just go to game to purchase any equipment. It has to be the correct, because we're also using the gym for the wellness programs of the government and the department, and we also have athletes that live within the Cape Town area also utilizing the gym as part of our academy. So we needed to strike a balance, and we thought that it's prudent to spend some money on getting the expertise in to advise us what would be the best gym equipment to utilize. Otherwise, we would have to purchase in a year's time again gym equipment in these openings.
Member Mitchell?
Okay, Chair, just for interest sake, the fees for the gym, where does that money go to?
The fees of the gym.
We receive it, it goes into revenue, yes.
Okay.
Member Gopi, you have on that question? No, we're just dealing with that question now. Okay, let's continue.
Chair, there was a question around the appointment of Dr. Dirk Brandt as a consultant.
It's not listen quickly, it's just an example for you, the member used, to say. Okay. So you must have just worded it properly. It's not questioning the person, it's just asking, making an example of that person.
Yes, I was coming. The reason was...
Chairperson, said, I was just making an example. I know so many consultants. Just so that you know we're aware, we're watching you.
The question on advertising has been classified to consumables. Remember, on page 238, there's a main section called consumables, and within consumables, subsection, other consumables, that is where it is reflected.
I was
going to
ask you what other consumables
might be.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think that's all the advertising we addressed the minor assets. We addressed it. We addressed the minor assets.
No.
Let's start with minor assets. So we give more. Lively.
During the 2016-17 adjustment estimates, we were very fortunate to get funding shifted into minor assets. So the reason it looks so much more than 2017-18 was because of reprioritized or savings during adjustment estimates that we pumped into minor assets.
That was the question. Okay, let's move. Member Gopi, new question. Just right now, Member Gopi, who's the others? New question. That was the library books. Yes. That was the library books. Member Gopi.
Yeah, mine is on 177. The grievances. That was the number of grievances that were solved and unsolved. My question is on the unsolved. What is the reason for the unsolved? And then the dispute lodged with counsel. Can we get more details on the dispute?
Remember, that is part of the portfolio, not part of our mandate. But okay, let's. So, remember, you accept that, eh? It's not part of our scope. It's part of the portfolio. It's fine. We can just move on, and maybe you can just say something on it in question answer time. Is there other questions, members? Member Bivakal? No.
Thank you, Chairperson. Page 240, connected to page 177, why I don't know. At the bottom of the little there, he's given your explanation. I'm on 240, but connected to 260 onwards, those are the annexes. Aid assistance was discontinued in 17-18 finance, therefore only comparative figures for 216 and 17 are respective. Now, just explain what you mean by that. Then, on page 244, 16.1 contingent assets, 274. On page 244, there's a contingent liability, 16.2. Yeah? Then if you read on page 274, there's a difference between 276 and 274. Now, I couldn't understand what you were trying to say. 274 and 276. Statements of contingent liabilities is on page 274. On 276 is intergovernmental payables. And then I would like to know why there's a difference between what you've got under contingent liabilities. The figures are not the same. I remember that you don't have to explain the midnight storm issue, we remember that. I'm just trying to get to the difference in the figures. Am I done? Can I ask one? On page 245, this chipper thing at Philip, we didn't have an issue with that last time, was it resolved? So I leave it chipper.
Same.
Oh. So leave that one here. At the bottom of the page, you've got different services plus 30 days. You know, we're always wanting to know why that 30 days goes over. And then on the other side of the page, you explain that figure, but you don't say who of those is more than 30 days, or is that what it's about? That the 30 days, the more than 30 days is 254, that's page 245, right? 254. Then you turn the page, at the top of the page, you've got listed by program level, but you're not explaining what the more than 30 days is about. You're just explaining the full total. Okay, 245 at the bottom of the page.
245 at the bottom, right?
You've got 18.2 payables not recognized.
Yes.
Then it says goods and services, and it gives you 30 days, 30 days plus, right? Now the 30 days plus is the thing that always bothers us. You shouldn't have any figure there. Then we turn the page. Then at the top of the page, you're only giving the full amount. You're not explaining who the 30 days, the plus 30 days, who they are and what they are for. Who's going over 30 days? That's what I'm asking. You're giving the total and not the over 30 days. Are we together now?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah. Okay.
And then on that same page at the bottom, employee benefits included in leave entitlement above is a credit balance of so much for leave taken in advance. Who did that and why and how is that allowed? Thank you for now.
Members, any other questions? Can we ask the department to answer? H.O.D.
Okay. So to respond to the question around aid assistance, so the reason why we have reflected that is in the current year we did not receive the same...
Yes. Sorry, with respect, ma'am, just taking me back to my own page.
240. Page 240. All right,
yeah.
So it indicates that aid assistance was discontinued in 2017-18. So for the current year, or the year under review, 17-18, there is no amount reflected, because we received funding which was called the GBS replacement funding. And the accounting treatment for the current or last year was different to the current year. In the current year, we are showing it as part of the normal expenditure, whereas with the aid assistance, because it was a donated funds from Norway through National Treasury to provinces, there was a specific accounting requirement called aid assistance, and therefore we had to reflect it, disclose it as such. For the current year, like I'm saying, there was no such requirement. That is why I'm just making or explaining why there is no expenditure for the current year, for the current financial year. So on 244, Mr. Bierbocker, you see under the note the reference are to different annexures. So when you look at the contingent liability,
are we talking about 16.1 now or 16.2?
16.2, contingent liability. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll see the first one, housing loan guarantee, that refers to Annexure 2A.
Yeah.
The second one, Annexure 2B, which is the one that you were talking about, where it's not coinciding with the total on this particular page.
Mm-mm. No, not that one. I know that one. That one refers to the midnight storm plus something else, right?
That's correct, yes.
No, not that one.
Okay.
I'm talking about the, is it now the 161?
Okay.
I think it's the 161, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's the 161 I'm referring to.
Yes, it's the 161.
Yeah.
So it coincides with the actual note.
Okay.
Which page is that?
On page 245.
So if I understood your question, Member Beerman, so you wanted to know why we're not indicating the state or the 30-day plus on page 246, we'll be on listing it on program level.
But the total, not the 30 days.
Yes. So it's basically the template. So obviously we have to follow what the template requires. So if you look at on page 245, the requirement there is to split it on a high level between 30 days and 35 days. That is the total for the department. On the next page, it just gives an indication of the total, which is the includes the 30 and the normal 30 and the 30 plus, which is the 386, split between the different programs.
Okay.
But we can provide you with the information,
the
detail
for
per program. We can provide you with it in writing for this
30 days plus.
30 plus.
30 plus. 30
yes.
plus.
So, remember, yes, you are correct. That is for leave taken in advance. And because we, our financial statements as at a certain period, in this case the 31st of March, we have to calculate the liability associated with that.
I now understand why I was asking that 161 difference, Jay. If you look at page 244, you've got 161 there. Then you look at page 276. I just want you to understand what you're telling me. Because under 31.3 2018, you've got the 161 there, right? Then you've got 31.3 to 18, then you've got a different figure there, and you obviously must have added those together to get that 554. What are you actually telling me when you're talking about those? You say intergovernmental payables on page 244. Then on page 276, you unpack the intergovernmental payables, right? Then 161 is in line of justice. Am I right?
The unconfirmed balances, which is reflected on page 244, the 161.
Yes. So I'm saying
then the
554.
So the annexure then counts together the confirmed and unconfirmed balances, which then gets to the total of 554.
So they add confirmed and because you only show unconfirmed
on the schedule, yes.
On 244.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's move on. That was the last one on that. That was the last. Member Chacha? This is new Rob?
Well, one more same question which you just answer.
Yes.
To the Lord was part of this morning, but we'll answer it.
Remember, Baruch Gopi is just going to answer that question.
Question
just
about
very briefly.
The resolved cases and the, it's not unresolved. Sean can explain it, please.
Yes, thank you. So the resolved cases is basically there's an independent review and a report written, and then in the end the aggrieved person then signs off that they are satisfied or not. And then the three that doesn't sign off, they were still aggrieved, but it has been finalized and concluded through the process that's provided to them. So that's the difference between the two. They sign, but they don't agree with the result of the...
Yeah, thank you. That covers everything. Member Chacha?
Thanks, Chair. My question is on page 248. Chair, it's on point 22. Why? It's about the irregular expenditure. Chair, I just want to understand what was the problem there. Because 2016-17, this year, we have actually doubled. We have doubled the expenditure of irregular. It's either 96% or 95%. What is the challenge there? In terms of this expenditure, why are you unable to close it down and not have irregular as part of the findings that you get from the HM?
Is that it, Member Chaza? That's all. Members, other questions? Member Bilwaker? HG can answer.
So I'm going to give a broad level, high level answer, and also see if I can just give detail. But the major item there, more than half of that amount, is for a company called Gymtrack, where we have to buy off the national conditional grant. We were forced to buy off that tender, the national conditional grant, and that supplier could not produce local content certificates. So therefore the expenditure was irregular. That explains that's the biggest reason. There are other smaller matters which the CFO can indicate, but yes, the main reason that amount is that amount is, I think, 1.2 or 3 million. 1.25 million of that amount is that company that we are allocated by National Sports and Recreation South Africa to buy a tire and equipment from, and they could not produce a local content certificate.
Member
Beaverton? Local content certificate.
But the member Chacha, not member Bivako, member Chacha?
That one is for both years, because it's 2016 and it's 2017 and 18. So it's the same company, basically. Because it just increases.
The Chacha, maybe just to clarify, if you look at it year on year, we had the same issue. In fact, since the inception of the transversal tender that was issued by the National Department of Sport and Recreation. And because the local content has always been an issue, this is the process that we had to follow to condone the irregular expenditure. So year on year, the expenditure is there, although it might differ year on year. For this year, I don't have last year's figure with me now, but for the current year, it was 1.285 million. So that's the biggest part of it, or in terms of the irregular expenditure. Then further to that, we had smaller ones, and mainly the main reason why we are showing irregular expenditure is because of the non-compliance to supply chain processes. And it's mostly linked to service delivery requirements at the time. So we will have a situation, for example, where we are required to do something, we cannot find a service provider, but in the end, the service needs to be rendered. Then we need to make a call in terms of how we're going to deal with it. Then we will then follow the process to have the irregular expenditure condoned. But it would be things, for example, where an order was not issued on time because of the timing, the pressure of delivering at a certain time and not being informed about it timeously. So if you look at this supply chain process, it's quite onerous. You know, there's a lot of compliance checking and all those things that needs to happen before we get to the end result, which is the order that needs to be issued to the service provider. So all of these cases are mainly based on the fact that an order was not issued on time.
I think, Member Chacha, we can ask them to come. You know, we can to give us the difficulty they're facing when it comes to that. And then you understand. Member Maseko?
Yeah, adding to that, if you can get a list of those services that they say that usually when they go, they don't get the services to a standard, so this has to be condoned. We need to find out what type of services are those.
That's why I say, Member Maseko, it's better not to write to us, better to come and we'll get the slot, because then you can have the engagement, because, you know, maybe reading it. I think we can ask information, or we can decide as a committee to have another engagement, to have a what, you know, with the department. And I think maybe it's better to engage with them again on that thing.
I agree with you, Chair. I was saying that when they come to brief us, they need to leave those services that
we will write to them. We will write to them and specify that one of our resolutions. Any other questions on the department? I'm closing the book. You can take your finger off your lip. Member Bivakul and Member Mitchell.
Page 252. Okay, next is just page 256. Connected to annexure 26.3. I'm going to find it. No 20R, no 20R. Please explain to me what I'm looking at. I'm on page 256, correction to prior errors and note 28. And then it is connected to note 26.3.1 and 26.4.1. But I don't understand what I'm looking at on page 252.
Member Mitchell? Are you there?
Thank you, JJ. I am on page 258 and 268. I want, like, it's a general answer, so I don't want to point to any validity, but grants in general and transfers. So, with regards to the, let me first ask, so all transfers that was made was done, noting that there was no outstanding, for lack of a better word, paperwork from the previous year. That's why the conditional grant based on an equitable share was transferred. That's my assumption, based on the answer I got this morning. So all municipalities were in the clear, that's why you could do a new transfer in the new financial year. Then secondly, with regards to the money that has not been spent by the municipalities at the end of the financial year, municipal financial year, was there any applications made for rollovers? And I'm not expecting you to have every single municipality, perhaps, Chair, I think it's important to have, so in our recommendations, that for per municipality that has applied for rollovers for the next financial year, for that deficit that's not being spent by the close of the municipal financial year, for both direct transfers and conditional grants based on the equitable share. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Just indicate just now, maybe can I ask the last question first and then see if we can to answer that question. But maybe just to indicate, remember when the municipality's financial year ended only 30 June, right? So we'd only receive, when we're reporting at 31st March, that was this showing. It is showing you at 31st March, this is the situation. Let's say they don't then spend that money. They then need to apply for rollover. We didn't ask at that time to comment by our treasury. For example, do we support the rollover or don't we support the rollover in every case? So we have to write a submission for each case to our treasury to say whether we support it or not. Okay? Whether we support it or not, treasury will take the final decision whether that money will be rolled over or not.
Okay.
And then the majority of those tables that you said just demonstrated there, they offer the liabilities. So all that money is spent. The liabilities, the underfunded mandate, we don't have a problem in that area. Because it's a going concern, it's happening all the time. People are borrowing books, there's salaries to be paid, there's security to be paid. So the library money generally isn't actually an issue to roll over. Unless the capital project and then maybe one or two delays, which they were asked for, had to be sort of the exception rather than the rule.
Chairman, I'd give you a dialogue if I can. I completely understand, and that's what I stated at the end of the municipal financial year. So I have quite a way about the two different ends of financial year. Chair, with regards to the libraries, I understand that, but I want to take it a little bit further and then ask for, in particular, under sport, what's it called, sport and recreation, under that program as well. And I'm not trying to be difficult, Chair. It's just that once you, and I said it this morning, the reality is that grants are paid out to the service providers, for a lack of a better word, but the responsibility and accounting and accountability remains under this vote, because they are ultimately responsible, and as SCOPA we have an obligation to follow the money, for lack of thought. If you're not going to ask me to withdraw that statement. Thank you, Chair.
On that one, Museko? Member Pivakil, on that. Okay, Member Museko?
On that one, I just want to find out, I mean, even if the financial year ends in the municipalities in June, there must be a benchmarking that by the time you do the annual report, it should be at least a certain percentage. Not leaving the issue of the libraries and the securities. Now, when you take in page 2, if you take your Langeberg municipality, it's about 50, page 260? You see in Langeberg it's about 55%, and every other municipality, there's a 92, there's 70, 67, which is, I tend to believe that is acceptable because statistically 60-something, they are there. Now, if you get the municipality that is on 55 below any other municipality, what will be the reason for that to happen?
Do you remember Vivek?
Yeah, Chair. I'm questioning your heading. You are saying, and now on page 258, statement of conditional grant and other transfers paid to municipalities. Now, equitable share. It is an equitable share. It can't be coupled with a conditional grant because it's two different things. Why? This is why I'm questioning, why are you putting it under there, under conditional grant? Then, and this is why I don't like reading your book, then the next page says, statement of conditional grant, same heading, paid to municipalities, continue, and then you go into conditional grants. Now, conditional grants, we know, have a specific purpose. My question to you in that regard is, what was the purpose of that conditional grant? And what was the purpose of the equitable share that you, from your allocation, gave to municipalities? You had a globular allocation which you got from treasury. Okay. From that, you took a certain amount and you transferred to municipalities from your equity. Conditional grants come from DORA. It's not part of your allocation, it's DORA. So what was that for? If you can just refresh my memory, because I don't have my DORA document in front of me. And is it because, I was just going to say, the percentage of spending obviously has to do with the timing of the transfer, hence that's the percentage, or is there another reason?
Okay, it should be.
Okay, maybe just to respond to Member Beerenko's question around the statement of conditional grant and why equitable share is reflected there. the grant or the equitable share relates to the municipal replacement funding, which is not a national conditional grant, but it's an earmarked grant that we receive from provincial treasury that basically serves the same purpose as the conditional grant. It's from provincial treasury. It's called equitable share because they allocate it from the equitable share, but it's earmarked for the municipalities. So therefore it is regarded as a conditional grant because it comes with conditions. We cannot use it for anything else, which is exactly the case with the national conditional grant. And therefore we report it on the Schedule 31. Correct? Just to clarify that.
I think that's fine. Cecilia, maybe you can just respond on Langeberg, please, for 55 seconds.
The delay with Langeberg was actually a capital project, and they actually managed to spend all their funds. They didn't request a rollover. They're not one of the municipalities that requested a rollover. So it was a delay with a capital project.
So the question around the prior year, the prior period error. So basically, this is also an accounting requirement. So when, so in this case, for example, it relates to the assets. So when we do verification, we obviously check that all the assets are there, and that we do on an annual basis. And in the case, for example, where we find assets that is not on our asset register, we regard that as a surplus. And because it's found at that point, we have to put it back onto the asset register. And because it was purchased in previous years and therefore affecting our opening balances, we have to disclose a prior period error. So that is basically what this is about.
Thank you. We've answered that.
Members, any other questions on the financials for the department?
Member Masiku.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't have a page I'm taking, just indulge me, it's just general question. The issue of allocation to the municipalities, do you, like when they do the sports facilities, does the department give them the grant for that effect? And do you go and check, and I'm going to concentrate on Langeberg, because Langeberg got a grant some years ago, and they left that sports ground to be terrible. They got a grant again at the same place in the community. There's a lot of community, but you get the same place in the same area. Do you check for those grants that there's a value to it and the maintenance of it is deafening, or as long as you gave the municipality a grant, that is, you did your work from the department?
Thank you very much for the question. So there's two aspects relating to sport facilities. The first one is that we have a very small equitable share grant, which is about 1.4 million that we make available. So the biggest amount for facility planning is actually under the municipal infrastructure grant, which is the MIG funding. The MIG funding is administered by the Department of Local Government. Mr. Leon Ekstein is the manager. Our role as the department is to ensure that the norms and standards are maintained. So what we have to do is that any document that the municipality sends to local government, my officials will then comment to say that the line between the touch line and where it should be 2 meters, should be 1 meter, etc. So we will give the technical norms and standards indication. We then go onto the field with the engineers, and only once we have signed off, if it's MIG funding, will the MIG then kick in. So the MIG funding is a 3-year process, and our officials work together with local government throughout those through that process. When it comes to the equitable share funding that we give, we work together with the municipality to ensure that until our minister actually opens it with the mayor of a particular municipality. So we work, the MOA says that there must be quarterly reports that are given to us, and we monitor those particular facilities. We also had a third level of funding, which was called the COCTA funding, in which a specific allocation of 300 million rand was set aside by COCTA, and we recently opened in Swellendam on the 21st of May a facility, and then in Maryville we also opened up a facility out in that area, and we're now busy with Pito and Cedarburg, etc., with national funding. So the sport facility funding from the department, very small amount, but the meat and the COCTA funding are the big ones, and we do play a role in terms of making sure that it's there. We can follow up on the Langeberg one, member, to see which amount you're talking about, because we do know that there was an issue about a year ago with Langeberg, with funding that was given, but then they could not raise the co-funding. And because they couldn't raise the co-funding, it became an issue between COCTA, SRSA and the municipality. And in fact, that project hasn't taken off because they couldn't raise the requisite 6 million to go with the 15 million that they were allocated. And in fact, that issue is still in abeyance now because they haven't moved because of the co-funding issue. So I think we do have some issues there, and I will look into the Langeberg matter and come back to you.
It has moved, they are busy with it, but what I wanted to find out, you did answer me, maybe from the department, just to make a comment, is the issue of much as there is the cost under the MOU, we need to check whether the money comes from national or it comes from the municipality, just to make sure that those facilities are really there so that they can add value when you sponsor those NPOs within the municipalities, because you are going to sponsor the NPO that doesn't have the facility where the kids, the children can go and do sports and other things. So one way or another, it has to be the interlink of when the municipality say, I'm doing the sports ground, you play a role of making sure that the sports ground is it up to standard for those children, to make sure that they become interested because of some of the social issues are caused by there's no facilities for those kids to go and do. So we need to have that interlink that can work for the communities. Within municipalities, it's a fact that some municipalities' capacity to really maintain those facilities is not there. We need to have a system of what do we do to make sure that we keep those intact, and it's not every year that we have to maintain them. Thank you.
So, Chair, thank you very much for that question. So there's two aspects. We assist the municipality with the public participation process at the start, because it's very important. Sometimes we would think that the community wants a tennis court, but actually want a basketball court, etc. So we assist with the public participation. And what has happened this year in particular, as opposed to the previous year, is that when national funding is now given, HUD Walters has to actually sign also. So previously it was simply SRSA directly in the municipality, and we were not signing anyway, which meant that we didn't have a legal obligation. But this year, in July, we actually had to sign the ones for Barrowfield and the other ones that were given. So that is also something that we have to report on a quarterly basis. So that obligation has now been built into the MOA. Even though the funding doesn't come to us, it goes direct to the municipality, we have to, on a quarterly basis, also report on it.
Last question, Chair, but just a comment related to this sport facility issue. I want to impress on you, HOD, that 7 million that was spent on that facility in Swellendam, I think you should seriously check on the sport body that's supposed to be in charge of controlling what's happening on that field and coordinating different sport codes and all that sort of thing. There's a huge fight going on there now, because that facility doesn't have that body in place yet, and that building is going to be a wreck very soon if something doesn't get done from your department. Please.
Thank you for that.
Because I heard it this morning as well. Just a question, Chair, on page 264. The Drott Day Museum, what exactly did they do with that money? Because there's also some other issues around the Drott Day Museum. I'm going to go and check. When you tell me now, I'm going to go check what they did, if they did it.
Member Sutton, you had a question?
Yes, Chair. I think it's both sports and culture. particularly with the area such as the Dorrance.
What's the price of that?
It's part of the sport. I'm part of the
team. I'm
following. So, that area, honestly, the issue of looking at the facilities, I'm not sure if it's a municipality that must take responsibility, because where, you know, where the stadium there, but how it is, no one can play there. You know, in terms of the stadium, that is there. And in fact, the hall that next to the stadium, you can't even hold meetings currently there. And you're supposed to have cultural events there in that hall. But definitely you can't hold anything. So I'm worried, who does the monitoring, you know, in terms of these facilities?
I'm going to stop those type of questions right there. I'm not going to entertain any questions in that regard. You can answer. We're not going to give me a page number and we'll address the page. We're not doing this other stuff. Over to you, HD.
I think just the short answer to that question is that we will look into it. I'll ask Dr. Paul and his team to have a look and we can give you something. We'll give something back to the committee chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. You've heard that, eh? They'll look into it and they'll give us a report back on those ones. Okay, we're done with the department now. We're going over to, do you mind which one we go over to? I've asked.
Heritage Western Cape.
We're going to Heritage Western Cape. We can excuse those.
Can we excuse
to go.
Those? Thank you.
And then just take 1 minute break and then we'll stop. 1 minute. 1 minute, not to be. Okay, let's go. We're going to go governance. We are heritage.
Chairperson of Heritage is with us, Dr. Malan.
Okay. The chairperson of Heritage is with us. Okay, at the back.
Okay.
We've done the introductions just maybe for Dr. Malan.
Yes.
It's with us and we're here. It's welcome. You were here. Were you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give the committee. But who's here now? What? We're not a quorum. I can't start. We're not a quorum.
Okay, here it is. Yes, that lady. I can't know that the doctor clearly was with
I neglected to apologize, but I, you know, I'm confused because I did apologize this morning. But Jay Mulaleki, yeah, she's off too. So acting accounting officer is sitting right here for the two public entities. He's the chief director as well for the department.
Okay, governance. Okay, we do the entire governance. Is there any questions on governance on heritage? Okay, financial information. Oh, you got questions, Bimakul, you must raise your hand. Can you raise your hand? Is there any question on governance? Member Bimakul, let's go page number.
Yes, thank you, Chair. A general question on governance in terms of heritage. Explain to me the situation around that Drosdale Museum, where the prosecutor, apparently somewhere here in prison, the prosecutor did not want to, refused, or what's the word you use? Was reluctant to give an opinion, and has gone to a higher, some higher order. Just explain that situation, please, because it's a question that I asked around the drug days. What have they done? I don't remember somebody answered me, because I want to go and check about what they've done.
I think they said they're going to give us something, and I think that was included in that answer. To say those outstanding, your one, the three questions is going to be given to us in writing. That is the answer you gave. No, no, it's the 1, 2, 3 that's going to they're going to get back to us in writing. That is what the HOD said. Am I right, HOD?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So that was dealt with. So is there any questions of governance? Those two. That is what he said.
Yeah.
They're confirming it. Okay. The HOD have confirmed it.
But why do they need to do that in writing? Why is it so long?
So this is in relation, you asked for an amount that was, yes, did you put it, sorry Mrs. Bierenko, when you refer to a table and you just wanted to know this amount, to what state, what is this used for, you asked. Am I correct? Okay, so Mr. We can give you an answer in writing, but Mr., if you want to just solve it now, Dr. Bierenko can just give the answer.
Is it a long answer?
I don't know what he's going to say.
Okay.
Because
it was long. No dialogue. Come on. We made a decision before this that you're saying that we're going to do it. No, we made a decision before this because I heard. And that's why I left it. I jot down all the questions and I write down the answers next to it. So can you, do you want to answer now, HD? No, they're making the demands, but I mean they don't listen. I was listening all the time because I tried to be fair. I tried to be fair. There was three here, and they said those three we will handle together because it was off the radar. And I said I allowed it here, now I allowed it there, and I allowed it there. So you also want to answer. She wants to answer, and you want to answer on that.
Why was my question off the radar? It was that to do with the Drosdale Museum.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what they do because I want to go and check.
So they'll give you something in writing. Is that right? Mm-hmm. They'll give you something in writing. All three cases. Let's go. Anything on governance? The page number, please. Please don't say it's a general question. Just give the page number that we'll be fair with the department when they jot it down.
Maybe I should just ask a general question. Do you have enough warm bodies in Heritage Western Cape to deal with all of the issues that I know are happening? With people who are illegally amending, reconstructing, building on, fixing up houses that are older than 50 years old. You know what I'm talking about? Swellendam? It's, they are inundated. I live in one, in a house that was built in 1815. That's why I know that. there are many.
No, we are governance. We are on governance, risk factors. What is the risk related to your question on in the governance?
Do they have enough warm bodies to be able to carry out governance the way you should in their situation?
Okay. Now it makes a bit sense. Do you have enough members not to go work out there, but to look at the risk and governance, not to go work warm bodies that does the risks? That is the question. Thank you.
I'm very happy to hear that a member stays in a protected building.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to receive a permit application. So I think now what I need to get is the address so that each and every time I pass through and down, I go and check.
You're welcome, sir, but my defense of it, it's not my house, I'm just renting it.
So, Jeff, we Heritage Western Cape work with a network of stakeholders, including municipalities. They play a very important role, as well as conservation bodies. In Solenda, we have a very active conservation body that assist us and alert us when there are illegal things that are happening there. So most of the things that we know is through a conservation body or by active members of society, as well as municipalities. So that is our approach in terms of managing that risk.
Thank you very much for that. Any questions on governance?
Follow up,
Member Bivanko.
This conservation body, is it a huge, are there many members? Can I know who they are, please?
Do we, just one moment, I just want to break that dialogue. Member Chacha, we have a question.
Sure. On page 44, point 2, as part of risk management, Chair, I just want to understand this security, the adequacy and effectiveness to the improvement of risk management. What does that mean? Do you see a challenge there? Because when I'm reading this this sentence, and I'm trying to understand the state of the Heritage Council, why would you raise this particular issue as a amongst the issues that need to be linked for risk management and control processes?
Got it, member? You're done?
Okay.
You can respond? You can respond?
Maybe just to clarify, that is the role that the audit committee plays with internal audit. So their role is to evaluate the effectiveness of our controls, and therefore it is articulated like that. So it's not something, although yes, internal control we are responsible for, and obviously internal audit assists management obviously to improve processes. But what is articulated here is basically the role of the oversight committee, which is the audit committee.
Can I answer?
Chair, I actually think that the CFO has answered it. So part of the audit committee's role is to look at both control processes, but also oversight over the risk management process and then obviously governance. So it's just explaining the role of the audit committee.
Happy with that, Member Chacha. The other outstanding answer was the umbilical.
Chair, we can provide a list of members of the conservation of the Swellendam Dam Conservation Board, but I can tell you it's a very active group of people.
And we will provide a list. Okay. Questions on governance? Governance, Member Gopi?
Chair, on page 41 to 42, remuneration of members, my question is how much is allowance given to members to make sure that they are not abused?
Did you get that question? I didn't get that question.
My question is, what is the allowance that is supposed to be given to members? And is it the same or are they treated differently?
Okay.
Chair, thank you. Just to clarify, member, are you referring to the column called other allowances? Or are you referring to the actual tariff that is paid to the members and is the chair, the tariff? So the tariff, right on top, there's a paragraph that indicates the tariff. So chairperson's council rate, 511 rand per hour. And then for the members, it is, so the subcommittee member is 448 rand per hour. And then for the rest of the members, it's 310 rand per hour. Yes.
Yes, can we move on? Can we move on from governance? Is there any outstanding question on governance? Members, let's move to the financial information. Any questions on Part E, financial information? Member Beaverkill first.
Page 75, page 76, page 77, and 79. Page 75, why was your conditional grant unsent? And it was conditional grant received from National Lottery for the Boone Poly Conservation Management Plan. It seems to be unsent. No, that problem still continues. Transfer and subsidies received. During 1617, the entity received an additional transfer payment from the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport for the year under review. Is this the same figure we were talking about earlier? And if so, what was it for? Page 77. The variance is due to the decrease in number of meetings held during the year under review. Now, earlier on in your targets, I think you mentioned that you had more meetings. Now you must help me if I'm talking about a different entity. This one many books I read, it could have been somebody else. Did you not say earlier that you had more meetings than normal because of stuff that happened? And now you're showing that there was a decrease? Venue expense, the increase is due to more venues hired during, oh yeah, there. You had more venues hired during the current year compared to the previous year, but you had less meetings, so where did you have the meetings, or the meetings and the venues not related? If not, it's fine, just tell me. On page 79, explain your total operational commitments, approved and contracted, not yet contracted for and authorized. So why are you showing us commitment number 19, starting up there actually, approved and contracted, sorry. Business case data development, I take it they're not working for you anymore. CMP for early Cape Farm said they're also not working for you anymore. African Web website hosting, creative catering. Sure, that's a lot of money for creative catering. What did they do? What was the function that they catered for? The regular expenditure on page 83, which looks like it's been condoned. And if I'm not mistaken, is this not the one? Is this not the entity that overspent? Can I then just ask a question, because now I'm confused which one it was.
The explanation given is that you got an extra for staff members. Now, the question then is, was this a new staff member that joined? Was this person part of your staff complement at the beginning? Why then did you not include this person in your cost of employment right at the beginning? Why this extra amount that caused you to overspend in whichever entity it was? Because now I don't know which one it was, but I know I read about it. 567,000, something like that. Over expenditure, please.
Thank you. Can we get the answers, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to unspent conditional grants, we received, okay, there are two conditional grants as indicated. The National Lottery's conditional grant, it's a highly specialized services which was approved by the National Lotteries that works in the area of archaeology. So there were a lot of delays with the procurement of the service providers in order to undertake that project. But to date, we have made a lot of advances in as far as spending on this. But by 31 March, so the expenditure was as displayed here. With regards to the National Lotteries, National Tourism, we received a grant towards the end of the financial year. And the agreement in terms of the memorandum that we signed which the National Department of Tourism was that this money is going to be spent in the 2018-19 financial year.
Okay. For anything specific? Through your chair, for anything specific?
Yes. Through the chairperson, yes. It's a project for the interpretative signage of the Kukuletu 7. So the National Department of Tourism felt that the site was not being properly looked after and there was a need to revamp the interpretative signage on site. With regards to additional transfers, the Heritage Western Cape is in the process of facilitating or writing a nomination dossier for the World Heritage Site. So the department transferred funding to Heritage Western Cape in order to facilitate that process. It's a very expensive process, but we are making good progress.
So maybe just to clarify then, that's the reason for the decrease in the current year because of the 1.2 million additional funding received in the 16-17 financial year. The next question was on the decrease in the number of meetings. So basically comparatively what we normally do, we look at the reasons for significant increases or decreases. So comparatively between 16-17 and 17-18, the reason for the decrease is associated with the decrease in the number of meetings for that particular year. And then the question on 79 about the commitments. So maybe just to give a little bit of context, commitments is where we, as of the 31st of March, we have to indicate contracts that we have awarded and what is the financial commitment going forward, whether it's for the next year, 2 or 3 years. So if you look at creative catering, for example, what we do because of the dynamic nature of the HWC and the fact that they're in so many meetings, we contracted a service provider to provide catering for us for 1 year. So as at the 31st of March, that was the amount that was owed to them based on the contract. So the service has not yet been rendered. But it would be, for example, for each and every meeting, and obviously in terms of the cost, we have to comply with the cost containment. So we're looking at 100 rand per person, maximum. And then you wanted to know the total operational commitments. That is really just a breakdown between approved and contracted and not yet contracted for and authorized. The last one meaning that we were still in the process of finalizing the commitment or the tender at the time.
That too is a reporting requirement. Oh, and then the question around the staff. So it's not about new staff. Basically, based on a score grad 23, which is an accounting, one of the accounting standards that we have to apply, which requires the department to calculate the cost of service in kind. So with the public entities, for example, because the staff that service the public entities is paid by the department, so it's on the, they are on the department's establishment. So we then have to cost the value of the staff, and because if you look at holistically, line function, they play a dual role, so we were not able to realistically measure line function responsibility, but because of the financial management staff that basically supports me to execute the financial management activities, their salaries are costed, and it's split over the three public entities basically. And that is the reason for the over expenditure. It's really just a financial transaction. It does not relate to actual expenditure for the public entity. It's services in kind that we are disclosing.
And then 33 is the regular expenditure, the last question. The regular expenditure, 33. Let me also explain that sometimes HWC gets, I'll say, attached into a court case. And in this case, we had to put together an agent affidavit, and there wasn't sufficient time to go through the normal procurement processes in order to acquire the services of a specialist in order to assist us in crafting that head of argument. So we had no choice but to procure the services as urgent as possible in order not to be out of the date in terms of the court processes.
Thank you, member.
Thank you. Are we referring to the North Gauteng High Court, that one? Did you need services urgently to put papers together in the government for that one?
Through the chair, no. It was an urgent matter in the south, in the Western Cape.
What is it?
Do you know what
it
is?
What
was it about?
There were two cases. One was the case we referred to as Anson Square, so where we had to procure the services urgently in order to file our responding affidavit and the motion or whatever is in terms of the procedures of the court. Also, we had an urgent matter. So urgent matters, you had to respond within a very short time frame, in most cases about 2 to 3 days. So when the court has granted an urgent matter, so it's got to respond to that. So we had an urgent matter in a way we had to defend HWC and the decision that it had taken at the time.
Member, you got another question on that?
Yeah, no, I noticed there was a few, quite a few cases where people are taken on the department. Now, can I just make a comment, Chair,
on a
previous response? Actually, or rather the gentleman who responded to me on the Google 87, the memorial and those kind of things. You know, as COPA, we keep you on your toes financially. That's why a lot of things have changed because of the way that COPA keeps you on your toes. Now you've got this money, remember, Chacham watched them. There's 760, there's 200,000 that they're supposed to do something for the Google 87. But the funny part is, we keep you on your toes in how you spend your money, but you never include SCOPA members when these things happen. Eventually, come and see what we've done with the money that you monitored us on. Never. We're never invited to come and see anything that you do. Sports Council, awards, issues that you collect, whatever, nothing. We can keep you on your toes. Finish.
That is a comment they may be welcome. That is a
No, I'm not even talking about that
I mean, for us to monitor you that you do what you have to do, when the things happen and they are there, they finalize, they're there. Where's Scopus? Nowhere.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. We'll put that, we'll do something.
Yeah.
Okay, is that all the questions on the finances? Here it is. Next one is the Carlton Commission. Carlton Commission? Let's go, Carlton Commission. Governance? Of the Carlton Commission Governance. Cultural Commission Governance. You happy, member with the PSM, I'll move on. Okay, the financial information. Members, questions on the financial information? We're done with governance? The finances? Is there any questions on the finances?
Page
57.
This extra money that you have to pay for water accounts. Did you not know about this before? It's this Melkbos cultural facility where you have to pay 800,000 rand for some thing that you didn't pay before. Chair? Page 68 and 69. I wasn't sure whether those other headings referred to number 13, because 13 speaks to general expenses, and then it goes on to talk about consulting fees, which is above there, and consumables above there, and so on and so on and so on. So there was no numbering to tell me that they're talking about that. I just assumed that's what they're talking about. And then 13 continues on page 69, general expenses. You know those headings that you see there on the one page?
Yes.
There's no extra number that says 13.1, 13.2, like you normally do, for one to understand.
Yes.
Members' fees. Is this a cultural commission members whose fees you list on page 69? Not contract on page 70. Not just contracted for and authorized, but OK, you are the IMX Waste Management. What's that about? Then on page 71, commitments, you talk about safety and security commitments that were understated during 16-17 year. The correction of the error results in adjustment as follows, and then there's nothing. So I don't know whether I'm not understanding what you're saying. During number 74. Material variances between budget and actual amounts. During the 17-18 year, the budget was adjusted from VAT to VAT, the total increase of VAT. The increase is due to so-and-so's obligation to pay outstanding municipal accounts of the City of Cape Town. Now, how does the one relate to the other one? The one talks about 450,000 and the other one talks about 800,000. So is it two different accounts? Because they both relate to adjustments. And then just a final question on finances. Did you do any environment after the adjustment budget? Between the adjustment period and the end of the financial year. Did you do any vitamins? And if so, from where to where and why? Does this department have any specific program in your budget addressing gender, specifically for women? Are you doing anything that I can look under here and say gender budgeting? This is a program that concentrates only on women. Besides maybe helping what Banyana Banyana, that's a women's sports team. I don't mean that. I mean as a department, DCAS, out of your own, are you taking a little bit of that little money that you have and saying, this is our contribution to empowering women from our little money that we have?
Okay, I'm also see if perhaps just answer the technical financial questions, which you can, but maybe just to say we don't have a specific gender budget in the way that we have asked it now, Mrs. Tiamako.
But you will.
That we set aside.
You will.
But I think we need to remember that our business is, I'm going to say gender sensitive, in the sense that all activities that we engage in, they affect both genders. If we go in the sport area, you know, we spend a lot of money on a section called women and girls. We spend money on it in terms of the, let's just say, the delivery of the actual programs. But we don't have a specific gender budget in relation to things. I don't think that answer is checked.
Okay.
It does answer. But in the whole arts world, for example, lots of, you know, it's not just like, just,
women go
to school, boys and girls, we've got this. I don't want to say this, I don't have the stat, but it's like, almost like it's 50-50. I don't have the stat.
I know that
maybe
we
go? Yes?
Through you, to the HOD. I know that everything that you do, whether it's arts and culture, whether it's sport, whether it's what, it includes both genders, right?
Yes.
But that is, that's a facet of what you fund, right? I'm saying, does DCAS have an idea of something that you can initiate and do that funds only women? And you won't have it now. You won't have it now. You will probably think about it. Going forward, you might come up with something. Because gender budgeting is important, it needs to be done.
Thank you.
Member Maseko?
Thank you very much. If I can add to what Member Bevenki is saying, do you recognize, like, when you allocate your grants, maybe you get a rugby committee, that you become, you initiate a system of women, how many women are there, so that you motivate that there need to be involvement of women, that maybe you can take ownership of having something like that within, because with your core business, it's difficult for you to can say that you're going to be gender sensitive by having programs that are for women only. But through those committees that are coming to the department, the NPOs and others that and then you can have a percentage that will say there need to be involvement of women within those.
Stop there. We're not rugby, and now we're away from Western Cape Culture Commission. No, but that had to be on the that one. But we heard your answer.
Yeah.
So we heard your answer.
I think the points are made. I think we'll take it into the department as you've made it. I think that's all we can say at this point.
Okay, is there any just give the outstanding answers, please.
Maybe just to respond to Member Bierenbunkel's comment on the narrative that we have, that it's not numbered. I take note of that. I think that might have been an oversight. It wasn't numbered within the actual breakdown under general expenses. But it's got the same sort of heading, and basically just explaining what is happening within those areas. Then not yet contracted for and authorized, there was no expenditure or no commitment for the current year. So the 209 relates to the previous financial year. The contract itself relates to the removal of waste at the facility. And then the question on page 71 on the prior period errors commitment, the reason why we're showing that is because there is a comparative expenditure or comparative commitment, but nothing for the current year. The question was why we're showing it. the requirements means even though you don't have any current expenditure, you still have to show the comparative because the financial statement is based on two financial years. I think that covers it. Oh, and then the question on, I'm not sure whether I understood the question, on page 74, Member Beerwinkel, you wanted to know about the adjustment. Yes. So the what is indicated there is the adjustment from 3.7 to 4.1. So there was an increase in the budget. Yeah. That's basically of 450,000, mainly due to the 800,000 that we received for the payment to the City of Cape Town. Yeah.
Answers that, the member people. Answers that. Thank you. Yeah. That's the end of the financial talk. They make me confuse, Council Commission, because to talk about rugby. So we're moving over to the Western Cape Language Committee. Okay, let's go move on. Governance. Governance, the governance in all the, you can see all the entities are similar. So, so do you have a question on governance? Member Chacha, governance in the language committee? Question?
Can I, if I may, sorry, and I don't know if I missed this, but is there any particular reason why it's only the department here?
Where's the entity?
Where's the, yeah, exactly, where's the entity?
So, Che. Just in terms of, remember now that we had the Heritage Western Cape chair here?
Yes.
Okay, was here. I don't think Mr. Mitchell was in the room.
Yeah,
and then she left. The other two members who were here this morning could not stay for this time. And we have Mr. Redman, who is the acting accounting authority by letter, appointed by the minister, in place of Ms. Mulaleki.
Yes.
And the CFO.
Yes.
And I'm very HOD.
Chair, with respect.
Yes, remember?
With respect, there's a difference between an accounting officer and a chairperson of a board. So I'm not disputing that, but can it just be stated for the record? I mean,
they were here, so they left.
I know that they
were here. But the acting accounting officer of the entities.
But where's the chairperson? That's my point. There's a difference.
Okay, we can take it, but could not stay.
Okay, cool. That's all we needed to be told. I mean, we are spoken.
Okay. HOD, can we just ask that we get that in writing, why they could not stay? Because usually, he's right, and I just took it, there is an accounting officer, but usually, even if the Premier is not here, or somebody is not here, they'll write us a letter to say, please, we excuse. So that's what the protocol that we have. So Member Mitchell feels that needs to be done. Member Chacha?
What do we have a question to the chairperson?
That's the problem. Just on the issue of the language, eh?
Page
19. And number four. Yes. Yeah. There's a point where the committee is responsible for promotion of the three official languages of the province. Then you name them. Good. Five.
Yeah.
My question, Chair, when is the board will start to deal with issues of other indigenous languages of the Western Cape besides these three? Because we have House of Griqua, we have as part of the province, you know, and I must say that there's good work that is done in the Northern Cape around the similar issues, and they're linking that with Namibia. But I don't see us here in the province doing something currently. Thanks.
Okay. Ashadi, can you? Mr. Redman?
Thank you, Chair. We gave a similar response earlier. The question was asked. And interestingly, the example you've given is exactly what we responded to. We now have a conversation with the Northern Cape. we are already in discussions with the Northern Cape government. We've actually visited the Northern Cape government. We've visited a site in Kobus where they are actually teaching Nama in a school. They have a partnership with the University of Namibia, and a lecturer comes down there and teaches their teachers. And some of their students are based here at Stellenbosch University. Some of the challenges they experience is that after investing in those students, they don't go back to the Northern Cape. So some of the conversations we're having is how can we keep those students busy and active in what they've been brought down here for. That could benefit the Western Cape, and then hopefully when they are completed, they go back to the Northern Cape. We also have shared an example of the Ngu language, which at the moment only five active speakers that speak it every day exist. We had a meeting with the National SAN Council, and we've committed to supporting them with that. There was a theater piece that was presented at the Artscape where Oma Katrina, who is one of the speakers of the language, was being profiled, and her whole life was being profiled. And basically the piece has her in the background speaking the new language with subtitles of English and Xhosa, presented as a dance piece. But the whole idea was to popularize it, let everybody know that it exists, and to see what is it that we can do to support her efforts to get members of her community actually speaking it, because that's how our language lives. There has to be people who actively speak it. So we are involved with the Northern Cape on those projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell.
All that.
Thank you, Chair. I want to refer to page 21 under the remuneration of committee members. Can I just get an explanation on what other allowances mean? Maybe I've missed it. And then I will have a follow up on that.
Member Bivako?
I'll follow up when I hear, because that was one of my questions. It's going to be one of them. I'll follow up. But at the top of the page, what is Mr. Fransman's area of expertise? What does that mean?
Who's answering, Mr. Rittman? HOD, who's answering? Yeah.
Ask earlier. Why am I getting confused? Oh, this was asked in the standing committee. We think it might just be a spelling error. It should be both. Yeah.
So it's not something that special that
we do. Okay. The next question, answer this question.
The other question was the other allowances. That is for members who are not living in Cape Town, to travel in for meetings and have to be accommodated, and also remunerated for their travel expenses.
Yes,
exactly.
Member Mitchell?
Yes, and Chair, so again, I understand what the department is saying. However, like I said this morning, when I read this book, I read it with the information in front of us. So the members of the public has got access to this book. It makes no sense. So what does 1323 from where to where? How does it get?
Where's the 1311?
Yeah,
it's thousands or hundreds.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Jay, for getting into a dialogue, but I just want to exhaust this. So this is traveling, right? So what is other reimbursements? And where there's nothing, what does the column represent?
This is a template.
Okay, so just to ease my own mind, other allowances would for this purpose mean entertainment, travel, accommodation, extra hours work, or will extra hours be under remuneration?
So basically that column and or for other reimbursements would be anything that you pay the member other than the normal committee fees, overtime, travel and accommodation. Because that will be taken up in the remuneration column and other allowances. So for the year under review, nothing else was paid out. So basically we should have just taken out the column. So we will ensure next time if there is nothing to report, we will just remove the column.
Chair, sorry for the last question, if I can, Member Beerenko. So again, let me just understand myself, just for myself quickly. So if you look at Mr. Koopman, let's use him as an example because he is the chair. So there's a 9 next to Mr. Koopman for remuneration. Now, what does that 9 represent?
That would represent the remuneration, and if there was any reading time that was paid, it will also be included in the 9,000.
Do you say that again?
9,000.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I heard that.
So it would be the fee or the tariff that we pay in terms of the meetings that were attended, and any, because what we also, our policy also allowed to pay the same rate for reading time.
Reading time. Okay, now back to the reading time after the other day.
Same.
So who determines, Chair, you must now stay with us. Who determines the time, the reading time that gets submitted? And let me make a practical example. So my first language is Afrikaans, man. So when I read an English document, I read much longer than what Member Beerwinkel does, because English might be Member Beerwinkel's first language. So Member Beerwinkel reads an hour, I read 3 hours, and then I submit 3 hours. Who determines do you know what I'm going? We had another committee which exactly the same thing came up. Is there some sort of set guideline that guides these kind of submissions for payment? Because this with respect, and I'm not saying this has happened, but this opens that loophole for abuse.
Can I just ask another question related to that? You have the same person reading the same documents. One claims for 2 hours, one for 3 hours. Do you check those type of things? Same document, same meeting, same preparation, but one claims for 4 hours and one for 2 hours, same documents. Do you pick that up, or how does that work? I think that makes it clearer, because like you said, different languages and all of those type of things. Maybe Vivian has got a question on the same thing. Maybe Vivian?
I just want to continue the discussion around it, about these hours of reading. I'm now going to the next column in terms of other allowance. Where does Mr. or Ms. LaRue, because it doesn't say any Mr. or Mrs. Where does Mr. LaRue come from? Where does Mr. Niembezi come from? Mr. Mazansi, where do they come from? And Yoyo, let me rather just say the surname. Where do they come from? Where do they travel from? And this reading issue is a problem because we picked it up in the gambling board, where people are also paid a rate per hour, but then also paid a rate for preparation. Now, I can prepare 6 books at a time, and I'm going to claim for that. Somebody can, as they've just been saying, do 1 book and claim for so long. How do you know what they're doing? And if it's being abused, why are they not saying for speed reading so they can read faster and use less money?
Let's hear some answers and then we can just continue if we want to, okay? Over to you, Mr. Redman.
On the reading time, I'm going to have to go and get specifics on that. But for Mr. Koopman, why his one is higher is because he's the chairperson and also chairs other subcommittees. Mr. Koopman also, you would have heard in the earlier meeting, unfortunately other members are not there, he also gets invited to functions or meetings of the panel, which he attends as the chairperson of the committee. So he has a little bit more responsibility than the other members who only attend the meetings. He also has to attend the subcommittee meetings.
Were they coming back
from the reading one, but Member Beaverka specifically says these other names. Can you just go through, where do they say? She went through a couple of names here.
Yes, I will get that specific information as well, with their addresses and the distance, so you can get a sense of the distance that they travel when they come.
We'll do that. So leave it like that, because we'll get something in writing explaining all that. They might not have all the details and they want to give us the correct information. Member Mitchell still on that? Member Mitchell? Okay, so that is governance. Can we move over to the financials? Questions on the financials, members? Is there no other questions on the financials? Okay, we can leave it. Agent D, do you want to just give some conclusion remarks? We're done.
So maybe just from our side as the department and the Office of the Republic Entities to thank the committee for the oversight and for robust engagement. We didn't expect anything less, but thank you very much. And I think maybe to say, I mean, my colleagues are gone, but Chair, just to say we are committed to make sure that we give of our best to the people, and we thank you for your oversight in this report. Thank you very much for that, Chair.
Yeah, I'll just ask one of our members to do the thank yous. Member Ulfi, you can do thank yous. Thank you. You can do the thank yous.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the honor. On behalf of the committee, thank you very much to the department, the AG's office, and all the committee for greeting us with your answers during our session this morning and this one now. Thank you to Chair for keeping us in line, and all the members of SCOPA that is present, that ask questions which is relevant to what you need to ask, and thanks for the open and honest responses. I know we had a bit of a workshop from the CFO, which I enjoy, so I'm a bit financially clear now, Chair, and I'm happy for that. And also thank you to your right-hand man there, who also is always with us, Chair, and all the best, and enjoy the evening further.
Thank you very much. The committee must stay behind for some work. Thank you very much for meeting us, John. Let's go to the resolutions quickly. Okay, let's do the resolutions. Mr. Davis, go.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, through you, Chair, for DCAD, the department, and the financials, we've got the question from Member Mitchell on page 236 for the first set to start as a generic traversal, so that's casual. Then you've got Member Beerenko, page 181-81, consultant, please explain. So basically, page 95 to 106, EPWP program expenditure, they said they'll put on it this far, etc. And then page 245, Member Beerenko, why the 30-day plus payment per program? They said that they will give us a report for that. Right, then for Member Chachow, the regular expenditure, what were the challenges? They said they'll come and brief us.
They must brief us,
yeah. They did a brief.
Let's go.
Then page 258 and 260. Funds not spent by municipalities were rollovers created for the conditional grant sports and recreation program 4. Member Mitchell asked that one, and they said they'll give us some information on that.
What is that one?
Page 258-260.
What is the one?
It was basically the fund that was not spent by the municipalities. Were they rolled over? Did the municipalities apply for rollover?
But I think the Reform explained it well. They must do a motivation, and the final say is with the regional clerk. Did you say yes or no? If they apply for a rollover, is there something specific you want to remember, Michelle?
Yes, I want to know the municipality that actually applied, and I know for a fact there's a particular municipality that did not apply.
Okay, so we're still going to ask. Okay,
And the program 4 member of sport and recreation.
Yes, the program 4, I understand the library one.
Those municipalities that did not offer a rollover.
Yes.
Yeah,
because then that money must go back to the department.
Yeah. Got it, Chairperson. Chairperson, then basically for the Drostein Museum, there was under Edith East Western Cape, the Diamond Spot, the member Pierre-Vanco asked the whole issue about the Drostein Museum, and they said that they will supply us with information and report on that.
Yes, the 3A, did you have the 3A?
Yes, so I've got here
the Drostein?
Yeah, so
the this one here? What is this?
So, okay, so I've got two Drosteins, the Chairperson.
Yes.
Page 264 of DCAS.
Yes.
What was done with the money for Drostein Museum?
Yes.
And then for Heritage Western Cape, under Part C government, there was also another Drostein matter with the prosecutor, etc., that member Bierwinkel raised. And they said that they'll give us a report on that, Chairperson.
Just a member Chacham asked for his, and member Maseko asked for them. Member Chacham, what did you want to give? The three, as I said, he pointed out the three. Remember Maseko, your one was?
For Drostein.
No, not Drostein.
Dorans.
Oh, yes. So I've got
the Heritage Hall, the wall.
Yes,
yeah.
So I've got it here. Okay, I'll just make a document here. So it was from Member Chacham, the Dorans Sports Stadium facility is in a deplorable state. I just wrote as we discussed, and then including the community hall. For the Dorans, they said they can give us a story. Do you remember, sir?
Got it.
Got it, member?
You got it?
Yeah. And then, basically, Chairperson, then we just go over to the Western Cape Language Committee, the last one. Then I had was, basically, they must give us a feedback on why the Chairperson of the entities could not stay for the scope of meeting. And then we've got basically for Member Bierwinkel that spoke about other allowances right now for the remuneration.
Maybe we can rephrase that. Why did they not formally apologize? Is that what we're going to ask? What do you want, Member Mitchell, is your point?
No, Chair, we don't have to write to them. It just makes sense that it's one meeting where you represent or actually defend your annual report. So the fact that it wasn't even mentioned, to me it's an indication of what they thought about it, because it's not with respect, it's not the HOD or the CFO or the accounting officer that actually implements this. They purely the accounting officer making sure that it fits in with the guidelines. That's why we as a committee, and I'm now speaking as a cultural affairs and sport, go through the process of going through interviews and nominations, because these people want to serve on these bodies and they actually get paid with respect.
But I think we must write a letter to the HOD and he can send it to them that they must tender a formal apology and why did they not tender. Otherwise we're losing it. You know, next time they will just do it with the next COPA, they will just think that they got away with it. So I think we must write them. Is everybody in agreement with that? Okay. Members, that's everything. Thank you very much and have a good evening. The meeting is adjourned.